This is a shared presentation of St. John's and the Well. So I'm going to share with Heather Wasik, the manager of the Well. And Heather, would you come up? Heather and I have been talking about this for a few days, so I know a little bit more about you than the congregation does, but yeah. Would you tell us a bit about yourself?
So currently I'm the program manager at the Well, and I have been holding that position since about February of this year. So before that, I was working in food security, which is just really making sure that people living out on the streets are getting the nutrition and the good food that they need. So a little bit of a challenging time to come into the role. Still, we're really in the teeth of the pandemic, but really rewarding, and we've seen a lot of changes in the community over the last little while. So
I'm going to ask you about two things. One is the community that we have come to know together around us, and the other will be about the Well and how you respond to needs. I noticed in Yasser's reading that he's chosen from the Quran, and Yasser may say more about that at the end, but the emphasis on reading the needs, reading for wisdom. And so as you have come to know the neighborhood, it's a neighborhood we're also in various stages of getting to know, what have you noticed? And I imagine that because of the pandemic, things have changed too. What have you noticed about our community and its needs in this time?
So definitely there's a big change from prior to the pandemic. The community has really changed, and the needs have really changed in the community as well. Early on when, say like March 20, the whole city really shut down. This is a government town. A lot of people were sent home during the pandemic, and we were open. We were deemed an essential service. So on my way to work in the morning, I would drive down the street, and there was no one on the street except our participants. So I'd drive by and be like, oh, like, there's John, or there's Mary, there's so-and-so. And for the first time, I really found that this community was visible in a way that they had never been before. So that really changed the whole city. Most of our participants are lots of them are street living, low-income individuals, so they really rely on our services. So we had to really adapt and change what we were doing. Primarily, the Well had been a place for women to gather, women and children to gather, and we really needed to go back to the basics and provide those basic services for our population. So. During the day when we're open, it's great. We are able to provide meals for people, showers for people, but when our doors close, there was nowhere for anyone to go. This is a group that maybe overnight is gonna go into, say, a Tim Hortons or a McDonald's in order to take a break from the cold. And all of a sudden, everything in the neighborhood was shut. So there was nowhere for anyone to go, even to get a break from the cold. So that really changed. What we were doing and the services that we were providing. One of the really nice things that came out of it was that we really did become a community. We got to know a lot of our neighbors a lot better. Business owners around here, they really pitched in. They came together to gather toiletries and gather supplies for us, and we really got to know each other as a community. Another thing that was great was, David and Peggy at the shop, and all of their volunteers. At this time, the stores were closed. People couldn't get a pair of boots or running shoes. And we really, really started connecting with people in the church and people in the shop who really came together to support our programs. Our community grew where other denominations, other congregations came together. We had Kelsa Aid, a Sikh organization, came together to bring us groceries and shoes and stock our community fridges. And the parishes across the diocese, like we had parishes from the Ottawa Valley driving up and bringing toiletries. So we really, really became this tight community.
That is a wonderful story of people coming together. Can you tell me about the services themselves and what the philosophy is behind how you deliver them?
Okay, so most of you know the Anglican Day programs, the community ministries, consist of three drop-in centers. They're much bigger than that. There's also 105, but for in Ottawa, just under RED, Rachel, we have the three centers, and we're sister centers. And we really have approximately 600 unique individuals across the three centers, and we're delivering services. Those programs primarily serve individuals who are street living or experiencing housing insecurity, other low-income individuals, seniors, and families as well. So our mission is to provide a safe space for people to come and connect people that really create community. And so our overall vision is to create an inclusive community where no one is marginalized and everyone is valued and supported. So one of our big philosophies with that is a non-judgmental approach. And that's really meeting people where they're at and having the philosophy that it's okay not to be okay. Like, you're welcome, we're gonna walk, you know, beside you during your journey with no judgment.
Thank you. So we will be having a tour after the service for anyone who would like to go down and have a look. But before we continue, I'd like to reference the readings a little bit because they might shed some more light on a few more things we might want to say. So the first reading from Amos, thank you, Joel, for reading that. It has this interesting phrase about selling wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great. We might be able to identify with this. You know, inflation makes your dollar buy less, and then grocery stores make the packaging slightly smaller but look the same. That this would suggest, from Amos's perspective, that there was actually things about injustice that were willfully happening. And I think we pray for our leaders in government. We think everyone is acting in good faith, but that was an accusation that Amos was making. And the gospel comes at it from a different angle. It has this story of the unjust manager, and it comes up again. There's a stewardship handout in your bulletin, and it's about this particular passage, and there's a phrase in here, and it's about this wealthy man, this wealthy owner and the manager. We can imagine that the wealthy master may be using his wealth and position to exploit the illiterate masses, and that the dishonest manager has been swindling the master for personal gain. Here are two people that do not have a healthy relationship with money. So that's one way of interpreting it. But if you notice, Jesus then goes on and says, make sure you make friends with people like this manager, because the children of light are more naive than the children of the world. And I think we can't tell whether Jesus is being ironic or sarcastic, because he goes on about, you know, make friends with the people who are corrupting you almost. And so I wanted to offer a different spin, that if we could speak of this dishonest manager, because that's how he's portrayed, the dishonest manager, in a positive light, he's caring about the relationships around him. And given that the world is already unjust, structurally, it's unjust in many ways. He's just trying to cut the best deal. And I would want to offer the critique that our society is unjust in a lot of ways, and that people are set back by that. And we need things that help us not to say, okay, we're just going to totally remake it, but how do we make the best deal given that this is what it is? And I think of the well as trying to make a better deal for the people who are struggling.
Absolutely. So I think one of the big things going forward is just really keeping the momentum going and that connection going. Every single person who uses our services is looking for that connection, and they're looking to be part of a community. So I think that's it's so important that everyone has a voice and that everyone's heard. And we all have different strengths, and that plays into, say, the businesses around us and the workers at the well and our participants. We all bring something to the table and are a valuable part of our community. So,
you can find out more on the tour. I'd like to welcome Rachel Robinson as well. At the end, yeah. Rachel is the executive director, and so there'll be an opportunity to ask Heather and Rachel questions at the end. And thank you for helping us to present this. And we have been talking about how to be more intentionally in partnership with each other. We have signed a memorandum of understanding about our two communities working from this same street corner in this same building. And so you're going to hear more about the well as we work together in the coming months.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. It's been such a phenomenal experience, like, in being part of this community. So, and I'd like to invite anyone, anytime, to drop in and see our day program, all the women out there. Come on in, like, have lunch with us and really learn about being part of our community. You're all welcome.
One last thing, and that is, I know that your staff have had a really demanding time serving these needs in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of your staff are here, but we would like them to know how grateful we are that they are here. This is a time where people quit jobs and the service industry is looking. We're really grateful for the workers that have come and are so loyal in the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll pass it on to them for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.